चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् हरे कृष्ण कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 36 इट्स द इंसेंस 36 एक्चुअली 35 एंड 36 बट 35 डज नॉट हैव अ पर्पोर्ट सो 36 विराग सर्व कामेभ्य शिक्षितो मे मधुव्रतात् कृच्छ्राप्तं मधुवद्वित्तम् हत्वापि अन्यो हरेत् पतिम् विराग सर्व कामेभ्य शिक्षितो मे मधुव्रतात् कृच्छ्राप्तं मधुवद्वित्तम् हत्वापि अन्यो हरेत् पतिम्। विरागः डिटैचमेंट सर्व कामेभ्य फ्रॉम ऑल मटेरियल डिजायर्स शिक्षितः हैज बीन टॉट मे अंटु मे मधुव्रतात् फ्रॉम द बंबल बी कृच्छ्र विद ग्रेट डिफिकल्टीज आप्तम अक्वायर्ड मधुवत एज गुड एज हनी मनी इज हनी वित्तम मनी हत्वा किलिंग अपि इवन अन्यः अनदर हरेत टेक्स अवे पतिम द ओनर। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय। फ्रॉम द बंबल बी आई हैव लर्नड Well, I should go to the previous verse because that's where it gives sense of continuity. So in text 35, It is this great sadhu who's been lying down by the mountainside along the banks of Kaveri is saying, the bee and the python are two excellent spiritual masters who give us exemplary instructions regarding how to be satisfied by collecting only a little and how to stay in one place and not move. From the bumblebee, I've learned to be unattached to accumulating money, for all the money is as good as honey. Anyone can kill its owner and take it away. Report. The honey gathered in the comb is taken away by force. Therefore, one who accumulates money should realize that he may be harassed by the government or by thieves or even killed by enemies. Especially in this age of Kali Yuga, it is said that instead of protecting the money of the citizens, the government itself will take away the money with force of law. The learned Brahmana has therefore decided that he should not accumulate any money. One should own as much as he immediately needs. There is no need to keep a big balance at hand, along with the fear that it may be plundered by the government or by thieves. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapanantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It's a great honor to be in the association of devotees, because nowadays I'm in the desert, and so even a drop has great value. A drop of water of association has great value. Okay, so our maha renounced person is now explaining how he has spiritual masters that he learns from by their lifestyle. And so the first is the python. The python taught him that there's no need to work hard for accumulating goods, and that Krishna provides for everyone. Even for a python who doesn't move anywhere, food comes to it. And from the bumblebee, the bee, he learned that collecting, atyahara, hoarding money specifically, does not give one happiness, because for that money, as he collects it, someone will steal it or forcibly take away from him. Because as one collects money, it shows. Cannot hide, unless you're like a maha, what they say in India, kanjus, like a miser. You know, in India there are some very rich people who wear tattered clothes, drive completely, you know, cars that you even wonder whether it will even move. Everything is looks so dilapidated, but they're rich with cash. And they live like that because no one's attention goes on them. They live in a small house. Because if you show your richness, immediately, Prabhupada writes, the government or thieves will like. So they live very, very poorly. There's a story, there's a joke about a miserly man that every penny I'll come back to this miserliness later. So this miserly man was so strict about not spending any money. So apparently he was on his deathbed one day, about to die. And he said, are all my sons here with me in this room? Oh, yes, yes, daddy, we're all here. All of us are here. All four sons, we're here. Are all my daughters-in-law in this room also? Yes, yeah, all the four daughters-in-law are also here. All my grandchildren are also in this room. Yes, yes, the whole family is here. I said, oh, then why is the light in that room on? Can you turn it off and save electricity? It's a miserly person, always thinking about money. They don't spend, they don't show that richness, because immediately it will attract the attention. And government will say taxing, or thieves will say feast by night. So here the bumblebee, because that's what happens, you know, they call the worker bees. The whole day they're buzzing around taking honey from a flower. Did you know that taking honey from a flower is the very, very risky job? Did you know that? Yeah, I'll tell you why. We find people in this world working very risky jobs, right? Many Indian people go to the Middle East, and they are construction workers. And in the Middle East, they have 80, 90, 100, now even taller building, the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. And construction workers, in that heat of the desert, they keep a salt pill in their mouth so that they don't die of dehydration. And they're working in that heat. And that heat is 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Hot like anything. Why? With the little money that they have to get and send back to the family. Very risky jobs working up there. Or whatever kind of risky jobs. Working under the sea, flying in the air. In fact, any job is risky. Every day I drive, you never know who's going to, you know, ram into you, or you ram into someone, you're tired, whatever. It's risky. Everything is risky. And the worker bee, even the simple act of collecting honey is considered risky, because the taste of that honey is so intoxicating for the bee. So once he gets there and takes a little bit, he can't leave. He has to take more. And he said that the flower can shut itself near the end of the day. And once it shuts, it won't open. So the bee suffocates and dies inside. Usually in the Vedic context, it is described that each of our senses, they lead us towards death, right? Didn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? Sharira avidya jal, jal is net, a network, avidya jal, judendriya tahekal, jivhe phele vishaya sagare, taravadhya jivati. So each sense, it is said that it leads us to death. So for the deer, it's the ears lead it to death. Why? Because the hunter plays some music, whatever. And the deer, its ears perked and stand still, because the music is very captivating. And a stagnant target is the best target, right? If it doesn't, because deers move fast. Deer moves fast. They stand like that. And he continues making that whatever enchanting sound. It's a perfect target. I thought this is the Vedic style. You know, modern Wisconsin deer hunters, they have a different style. Something happened, someone shared a video with me recently, and believe it or not, the modern hunter with all his telescopic lens and gun, the way he attracts a buck at that time, a deer, I have to tell that to you, is he plays certain music and certain noise that as if it's knocking on the tree bark, something that. And so the deer, who's in hiding, you cannot tell, slowly walks towards this noise and stands like that. And so the hunter is a perfect target for killing it. And they're given license and money for killing deer. So anyway, so that's for the deer. For the bee, you know, it's the smell of that honey that he cannot give up. He has to take more, and there's a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and the flower is closing on, and he cannot breathe anymore. He has to die. Or for the fish, it's the taste. There's a little worm at the end of a hook. What does the fish see? Worm. Does he see the hook? As soon as he gets the hook, gets the worm, the hook goes right through his palate, like that. It's a sharp hook. And once that hook gets in, he cannot free himself. Have you seen a fish go like this? Have you seen anyone fishing? Once they pull, whatever it's called, they reel it back, the fish is like this, it cannot undo itself. That hook goes through the palate like that. It's very treacherous. Prabhupada said the most cheating sport is fishing. One should not do it. And then for the elephant, it's the sense of touch. I mean, of all the things for that pachyderm, it's the sense of touch. Apparently, a little rub from the she elephant maddens them like anything. That's how they capture he elephants. Is they send a female and she goes a little, and then he goes, and she leads him into a big pit. And he doesn't know, well, just to get that sense. Prahlad Maharaj said a few chapters ago, Yanmaituna di grahamedi sukam hituchham kandu yeva karyor eva dukkha dukkham. He said that the sex life is like an itch, and the pleasure you get is as if when you rub hands, the pleasure you get from it is the sex pleasure. And for this, a person will take on so much dukkham. Eva karyor eva dukkha dukkham. Double misery just to get that sensation. Tripyanti neha krupana. A miserly person can never become satisfied by such activity. Bahudukha bhajam. His whole life is full of misery. So the elephant is like that. And for the moth, it's the firefly, it's the vision. As soon as he sees fire, it feels like he has to somehow fly right into it. So like this, each of the senses, they're the invitation for death. And for the human being, so for the deer, it's the ear, the bee, it's the nose, for the fish, it's the tongue, for the elephant, it's the skin, like that. For the human being, all five are fully active. They're all ready. And they immediately take a person towards death, means repeated birth and death. So he's learned from the bee that after working so hard for that honey, some guy will come, put a little smoke and fire and get rid of all the bees and take away the honey. Do the bees enjoy the honey? You ever see bees gathering together and saying, let's have some honey? It's for the human being. The fellow takes it away. Right? Often, and they're called worker bees because they work very, very hard. The queen doesn't do much. The other guys, they work very hard. They gather all the honey, and some other guy will come and take it away. It's like that. So he looked at the bees and he figured out, there's no use working very hard like that. Someone else is going to take away my money. And in the previous verses, he gives a list. He gives a list of people who take away his money. Governmental laws, thieves, rogues, enemies, family members, animals, birds, persons seeking charity, the inevitable time factor, and even their own selves. So then he says, I've learned from the bee, it's not worth working hard. And the purport, Prabhupada says, therefore, one who accumulates money should realize that he may be harassed by the government or by thieves or even killed by enemies. So I'm reminded of the beautiful story in Krishna book of the... Do you know which story? Shyamantaka Jewel. Shyamantaka Jewel. So Satrajit He was such a devotee of the sun god. One day he appeared and gave him this wonderful jewel, the Shamantaka jewel, that every day it would produce more than 70 pounds of gold or something in his home. So very quickly he became so rich in a few days, 70 pounds of gold. That's about 35 kilograms. That's a lot of gold. A lot of gold. It's one suitcase to India every day. That's sort of the reference is easier. One big suitcase. Every day, that much gold, it was great. And when he would wear it and walk, people would think, oh, Surya Bhagavan is here. So one day his brother Prasena, oh, and Satrajit always thought, Krishna is envious of me. I have the Shamantaka jewel. He only has the Kaustubha jewel. I have the Shamantaka jewel. He wants this from me. Yeah. He wants this from me. And he always was envious that Krishna might want to take it away. And Krishna says, Prabhashmi Sashi Shuryo. I am the effulgence in the sun and the moon. But oh, Krishna is going to take it away from me. So his brother Prasena wore it. Why would he go into the forest with the big jewel to show off to the animals? I have no idea why Prasena wore it. But anyway, he went off, never came home. And Satrajit said, Krishna killed my brother for the Shamantaka jewel. Krishna's like, I am peacefully sitting here in Dwaraka, I'm not interested. Now I have my whole name is tarnished. I need to fix this thing and have it back. No, it's mine. That's a favorite. Three words from a little kid. It's mine. Whatever it is, it's mine. So Prasena never gave it. That little kid didn't give. So then Krishna tried to argue, and then suddenly Jambavan showed up. And he said, oh, this is my grandson. It's his toy. Krishna said, no, it belongs to Satrajit. I need to, get my reputation back. No. So they had to fight with each other. For 27 days, non-stop, no eating, no sleeping, only fighting. And it's not just wrestling, they were pounding each other, fisting, thumping, knocking each other with anything. For 27 days, finally Jambavan felt tired. Because he was an old guy. How old was he? He was helping Lord Ramachandra during Ramayana. And the same Lord, when he appeared as Krishna, he couldn't tell. He's like, oh, you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only the Shamantaka jewel, please take it, but also take Jambavati as a wife. And later Krishna brings the jewel back. Satrajit becomes embarrassed. And the way he has to say sorry for it is he gives Satyabhama, his daughter, in marriage to Krishna. But Satrajit was always insecure that someone will take it away. Like that. So there are many such pastimes. Now on the other hand, of the other spectrum, are great persons who don't care about such money or wealth. They're happy to give it. Give it as much as they want because they're not attached to it. So here's a principle, the difference between attachment and detachment or renunciation. Attachment is, how do you recognize it? We recognize it by the inability to give. And detachment is the inability to keep. That's the difference. That one who's constantly sharing whatever they have and they keep sharing is very detached about it. And attachment means that they cannot share. Everything has to be hoarded. So yesterday I read a very beautiful quote by His Holiness Radharath Swami. It's been ringing in my head, or I should say heart, all day yesterday. It's a beautiful quote. I can't remember it verbatim, but it's he said, I do not want any wealth, nor do I want the pride of being renounced. More important than giving away wealth is also to give up the pride of being renounced. That's a very beautiful quote for me. So here, on the other spectrum, on the other side of the spectrum, are persons who are so generous. And so when Parikshit Maharaj was born, he was compared to King Shibi in terms of his generosity of giving. Or King Rantidev comes up in the next 9th canto. All the way there. You know the story of Rantidev? Really? You know the story of Shibi? King Shibi? Oh, story time. Okay. I've noticed that of the past 2 weeks, I've only been telling stories and I'm having a fantastic time. Anyway, I'll tell just the story of King Shibi. Not Shibi, Shibi. Short E, Shibi. King Shibi is in the ancestral line of Lord Ramchandra. And he was very, very famous for being charitable. Anybody could ask anything from him and he would give it away. So his fame spread all the way to the heavenly planets. And it came to the ears of Lord Indra. Indra said, really? Can there be anyone so generous? Really? Is that true? Yes, yes, you don't know. He is such an amazingly charitable person. Indra said, I would like to test it for myself. He called Agnidev. Let's go. Put a little test. You heard the story. So King Indra became an eagle and Agni became a pigeon. And they played the role of the persecutor and the persecuted. So the pigeon was flying to save itself from the eagle who wanted to eat him. So King Shibi was performing a big yajna. And there were thousands of people at his yajna. And he was giving in charity. Suddenly, the pigeon came and sat on his lap. And he was shivering with fear. So King Shibi touched him and said, you're sitting on my lap. There's nothing to fear. What is it? Tell me, I'll take care of it. He said, I'm being pursued by this eagle. He wants to eat me. The king said, don't worry, I'll talk to the eagle. And he said, please don't eat this bird. He has taken my shelter. It's my duty to protect him. Please don't eat him. So the eagle said, hey, that's not fair. The pigeon is my food. You've taken away my food, which by nature's law, I'm supposed to eat. So how can I go hungry? Can you compensate for it? The king said, no problem. There is enough in my kingdom for you to eat. He said, that's not fair. Since you have given him protection, you should give me flesh from your body equal to the weight of the pigeon. Then it's a fair deal. The king said, fair enough, not a problem. He had a pan scale. He put the pigeon on one side of the pan scale. And he cut off his own flesh. I mean, that's not easy. But this is the spirit of charity that King Shibi had. He cut off his own flesh and put it on this side of the pan scale. He thought the pigeon, you know, looked frail. You know, some frail people are really heavy. So he put it on the pan scale and that pigeon was heavier. Like, man, what is this? So he cut some more flesh. And every time he would deposit some of his flesh on this side of the pan scale, the pigeon somehow kept on becoming heavier and heavier and heavier. Finally, King Shibi said, you know what? I give myself completely. And he sat on the other side of the pan scale. That my life is not so important as my word is that I will protect that pigeon. And when he sat on the pan scale, both Agni and Indra came to their original forms and congratulated him that that is the spirit of charity, that to fulfill your word, you will give your own life. That's fantastic. Because for a person, money is very dear, no doubt. But dearer than money is one's own life. One will not give one's own life. One will protect it to the ultimate degree. One will protect it. But he was ready to give his own life in charity. So King Shibi is glorified and said, Parikshit Maharaj will be like King Shibi. Now to end this, you remember the miser was about to die, right? Miser. So Rupa Goswami, he also refers to a miser and he prays to Krishna, let me be also a miser. And he uses this beautiful verse in his Padyavali. Vicheyani, vicharyani, vichintyani punah punah, kripanasya dhananiva tannamani grinantinaha. He says, like a miser, he does three things with his money. Vicheyani, he keeps counting. Have you seen misers? They count the same money again and again. Do you count your money again and again? You're a little different. We have to teach you how to take care of money. But anyway, misers count the same money again and again and they feel happy. They go back to their bank statement again and again, log in to check. How is it today? $1 up. Woohoo! $1 down. Woohoo! It all goes up and down depending on how the numbers move. So he says a miser is constantly, vicheyani, constantly counting his money. Second, vicharyani. Vicharyani is thinking, how to grow this money? Where will I get more interest? Where will I get the best deal? Constantly thinking of how can I make it more? How can I double it? How can I triple it? How can I expand my money? And he looks for investment strategies and investment avenues. So this is vicharyani. And third is vichintyani. He's constantly worrying about his money. Will someone take it away? Did I lock it properly? Did I make the right investment? And the next day someone tells him, oh, you put your money there. Here you get 4% more interest. Oh no, what have I done? I should invest this properly. Next time I'll do it back. Vichintyani, constantly think. So he's counting. He's thinking how to grow it. And he's already worrying constantly of how not to lose it. Puna punaha, again and again. And so Rupa Goswami says, similarly, tan namani grinantina. May we also feel like that about the holy name. Counting, thinking how to become better at chanting, and worrying about even the loss of one bead. Of course, I'm speaking without any realization here. It's the height of hypocrisy, but you get the idea. It's a meditation of how to improve our sadhana, like a miser who's constantly thinking, counting and worrying about his money. So Rupa Goswami says that our wealth is the chanting of the holy name. And like a miser, one should be absorbed about it again and again and again and again. Any questions or comments?
I don't have any serious questions, but every time I hear past times like this, this is not a question, but maybe you could briefly tell the story of...
story, one more?
it's not really a story, it's just like two, three lines. But that story of, I always appreciate this, I'm not sure who it was, whether it's Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami, where basically one Brahmana said, you have a gold stone. And he said, Rupa said, oh yeah, it's in a garbage, Sanatan. And I always ask for a reference, where is that story? So maybe that's my question. Maybe you could tell it. And I'm not sure if you know where the reference, always look for
the
that
story.
The
only reference is Parampara. I've never read it, but mm-hmm. I've heard it from different people. So, I've heard it from different spiritual masters, from Dinabandhupu. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell that story in case anybody
No, I was going to tell the joke you told me.
Oh yeah, you can tell.
So, do you want to say it?
No.
Okay. I might not say it the same way that Jai Baladev narrates it. But anyway, there was one guy who was praying ardently to God. It's about money.
Genie.
Huh? To a genie. Okay. Right. We'll make it less spiritual. To a genie. And so suddenly I found a little lamp. He rubbed the lamp. Came the genie and he said, what do you want?
You have one wish.
Oh, you have one wish. And that's only one wish. What would that be? So the guy said, oh, genie, may I have $1 million? And the genie said, sure. And suddenly he was surrounded by a million deer.
A million bucks, deer, another.
Because they called a buck. Anyway. So the point is, genies are tricky. Actually, it is that Krishna is also tricky. You ask something, he gives you, or gives us, I shouldn't say you, gives us something, and we're like, no, that's not what I was asking for. So that's what you were asking for. Krishna is very tricky. Very, very tricky. You know, if you say, I want to be recognized by everyone or something, Krishna will embarrass the heck out of us in public to such a degree that we're like, oh, no, thank you. I prefer not to be known by anyone. Yeah, he knows how to. I have such experience in my own life. I'll share one. One is I'm still not so humble to share the other one. But when I first saw the devotees, 1992, I saw only the back of their heads. I think it was Vyas Puja of Gopal Krishna Maharaj or something in Bombay, Nepal. I didn't know what the Vyas Puja meant. But I only saw saffron brahmacharis, clean shaven with seekers, with their arms raised, going up and down, jumping like this. And that was my first non-South Indian temple experience. And I thought, these guys are nuts. Who dances in a temple like that? I was totally nuts, like, whoa. And I said, hey, this is not, I will never do something like this. Fast forward many years later, I come to ISKCON Chicago and everyone is dancing. So I used to sit in that corner there and like, this is not good. I can't, this, what is this dancing? No. And two Sundays later, Sachi Kumar Prabhu comes, pulls me and says, come and dance. And it has become my favorite thing in the whole Hare Krishna experience. Of course, I can't dance anymore, but it's the dancing is like the favorite thing. And I thought, Krishna's humor is very interesting. You know, it's like what I didn't like, what I say, who are they? I'm sure someone's looking at me saying, who are these crazy people? It comes back to you. So Krishna is very tricky, definitely. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, among cheaters, I am the best. Dyutam chalayatam aham. So I'm very tricky. So he said, give me $1 million. So next time, ask in cash, not bucks and all the slang. And I say, my dear Lord Krishna, can I have 100 gold coins? If you say, can I ever get to see 1 million gold coins? He will take you to a museum or show you the 1 million gold coins and take you away from there. It's very tricky. So anyway, humor enough. Any other comments, questions? Otherwise?
Maybe I have one other.
Still is.
What is the story of Rantidev?
What is the story of Rantidev? Oh, you. It's a long story. Rantidev. Okay. Today's not any fasting, right? Because the story of Rantidev is about fasting. It's a very complicated story. I don't have the details. Because the details are very fascinating. I'll have to prepare it and tell you. I mean, I can tell you what the story is, but there are certain personalities who come in the story, and it's important to know who's who. Then it has some... But anyway, he was the kind who was so generous with his belongings and food and all that. I'll tell you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. How are you feeling, Vishwakarma Prabhu? Good? You can dance in Kirtan? Vishwakarma Prabhu, 1 minute.